dwelling inside you. Paul talks about it in verse 6 as, and it was on our screen before, it said, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This treasure is a light. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So here's the first reason to persevere in telling people about Jesus. It's the contrast or the difference between our weakness and God's power. This is the cool thing about being a follower of Jesus. You don't have to be super special. You don't have to be extra strong. You don't have to be someone like amazing. You just have to be you, a jar of clay. You know, when God made the universe, he spoke. He said, let there be light, there was light. He formed the land, he formed the animals, the trees, all that exists. He spoke into being. But when it came to people, he got some dirt and he fashioned it into the shape of a man and breathed life into that man. We're just made out of clay. It's interesting, isn't it? Have you ever been to a funeral? At a funeral, sometimes the minister will say, ashes to ashes and dust to dust. We're just made out of dust. We just made out of dirt. I reckon that when Paul was writing this letter, and in those days, the letters that were written were like read out to the whole church. I reckon when he wrote this letter, when he got to this bit, he was thinking about something that happened in the Old Testament, in Judges chapter 7. In Judges chapter 7, you read about this amazing story of a man named Gideon. Gideon had an army of 20,000 men, and God told him to go into battle with only 300 men. So Gideon's small army of 300 went into battle against the enemy, who were called the Midianites. Do you know how many of the enemy there were? Like 300 of Gideon's men versus 145,000 of the enemy. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine going to battle with just a handful of men versus 145,000. Here's how Gideon won the victory. He told his men to get these little clay pots, little jars of clay, and inside each pot they put a light, like a flame. And he said, when you hear the trumpet sound, and when you hear me shout, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, break the pots, sound the trumpet, and they were surrounding the Midianite camp. Blow your trumpets, break the pots, and it's exactly what they did. And the Midianites became confused, and Gideon's small army of 300 won the battle over insurmountable odds. Crazy numbers. 300 versus 145,000. How is that even possible? It's possible because of the all-surpassing power of God. And Paul says, we have this treasure, the gospel, in jars of clay. It's the light, like the light that was in the clay pot. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that God is the one who's got the power, not us. So if you're a follower of Jesus but don't feel very powerful, that's okay. Because God is the one with the power. We're just made out of dirt. All we have to do is let the light that's in us, the treasure of the gospel, shine, and God will do the rest. He's the one with all the power. The first reason to persevere is the contrast or the difference between how weak we are and how powerful God is. I'm amazed at what man can do. yesterday, when I came up from Melbourne, I flew in this metal tube at 38,000 feet with a few hundred other people at about 800 kilometers an hour. Don't you think it's incredible? Don't you think it's incredible we can sit in this tube, it's got wings on it, and fly? I think it's incredible. I get my mobile phone and I can be anywhere in the world, and I travel quite a bit, and I can text my wife and she replies within 60 seconds. And I know you guys think, well, that's kind of like normal, because like, haven't mobile phones always been around? Like, no. they're pretty new. And for old people like me, it's like, wow, that's incredible technology. Like, not once or twice, but six times we have put a man on the moon and brought him back to Earth. Don't you think it's incredible that somebody looked at the moon one day and said, hey, let's go there. It's amazing. Maybe I'm just like easily impressed. I can't believe that somebody looked at a chicken one day and said, let's eat the next thing that comes out of its bottom. But anyway, that's... if you think about it, somebody must have said that once, the first time. I am amazed at what man can do. But do you know what? When it all comes down to it, we're just made out of dirt. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. We have this treasure, the gospel, in jars of clay. Why? To show that God is the one who has the power, not us. Listen to what Paul says. He kind of like fleshes out that truth. He says, we're hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. So he says, like, things are difficult in life sometimes. Relationships are difficult. School's difficult. Work is complex. There's hard things that happen in life. He says, we're hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Why are we hard pressed? Well, because we're just jars of clay. But why aren't we crushed? Because of the all-surpassing power of God. He says we're perplexed, which just means confused. We get confused, but not in despair. So we're confused or perplexed because we're made out of dirt, but we don't despair because God is the one with the power. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. We're persecuted because we're made out of dirt, but we're not abandoned because God is powerful. We're struck down, but not destroyed. We're knocked down, but not knocked out. Why aren't we destroyed? Because God is powerful. Why do we get knocked down? Well, we're just made out of dirt. But God is the one with the power. So Paul says, we persevere in telling people about Jesus. It's worth it because of the difference between our weakness and God's power. So what I want to say is this. If you sense, you know, before Jeff said, you know, how can we get involved in mission? If you sense that God might be nudging you to get involved in mission, you need to know this, that mission is not for wusses. You know, sometimes people say, oh, you know, you Christians, you need something to lean on. Like, I don't need anything. I'm an atheist. You need a crutch to lean on. What I want to say is this. To be a Christian, to be a genuine follower of Jesus, is not for wimps. This is for hardcore followers of Jesus. If you sense God is nudging you to engage in mission, to engage in telling people about Jesus when they live in other places and other cultures, other languages, this is not a call to a safe life. This is a tough life. Do you know, you may not believe this, but 170,000 Christians are slaughtered every single year because they love Jesus and tell other people about Jesus. Like, I'm not car accidents or heart attacks or suicide. These are people who are slaughtered because they love Jesus and they tell other people about Jesus. They want to do mission. Like, mission is hardcore. So if you sense God might be nudging you to engage in mission somehow, just remember this. This is a call to a hard life. This is a tough life. Okay, first reason to persevere in telling people about Jesus is the difference between how weak we are and how strong God is. The second reason to persevere in telling people about Jesus is the contrast between the outer man and the inner man. It's the contrast between the body and the spirit. I'll listen to verse 16. Paul says, therefore, we do not lose heart. It means we hang in there. We keep going. We do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. Isn't that interesting? Now you think, if you're really young, you think about your parents or your grandparents. They look a bit different to you, right? Well, they're probably a bit taller, but they're generally wrinkly and old, and sometimes they're a little bit bent over, and they're not as strong as they used to be. Why? Because outwardly, we just like wasting away. Evolution tells us that things become more complex over time. Reality tells us that things decay over time. Outwardly, we're like wasting away. Like years ago, I used to be in the army. I could do things back in those days that I can't do today. I could do jungle warfare training. I could climb ropes. I could do chin-ups and push-ups and sit-ups. I could run 5Ks in 22 minutes, which was the how fast you had to do it for my age back then. I could do stuff then that I can't do now. I could do the self-loading rifle. I wasn't too good at the submachine gun, but I was top marks with the pistol, 8 out of 10. So don't mess with me because I'll shoot you. I could kill you and you wouldn't even see me do it. I'm so fast. Man, I could do stuff back then. But you know what? I can't even do it now. And I'm not that old. But the stuff I used to be able to do, I find really hard to do now. Why? Well, because I'm just getting older. Your body's stiffen up. I'm not as agile as I was. Outwardly, like we're wasting away. But inwardly, Paul says, inwardly we're being renewed day by day. Now, what does that mean? Years ago, when my eldest daughter turned 10, we were living here in Sydney. We're living up at Kellyville, not far from here, actually. We went all the way down to Jeroa, to the beach. And a whole bunch of kids were with us. We played on the beach. And the kids said, can they go in the ocean? It was a really cold day. It was October. It was choppy. It was windy. It was freezing. The kids said, we want to go in the water. We want to go in the water. We're like, the parents, we feel really cold, so you kids can't go in the water. It's funny how parents do that. Anyway, they talked us into it. We let them play. They go in the water, and we said, okay, you can play as long as you just play here, because it's a bit dangerous. We want you to be safe. Keep an eye on Mum and Dad, and you'll be safe. So they went in the water, and they were playing, and so we thought, oh, all is well. So we turned around, and we forgot about them for a little while. We had a chat over here, very responsible parents. And after a while, we thought, we better check on the kids. And we looked around, and they weren't there. I thought those other kids that they were playing with were really naughty, and they must have told my girls to disobey or something. And I couldn't find them. And we looked down the beach, and like 20 or 30 meters in the water, down the beach, they were like way down there. We had to call them back. Say, get over here. We told you to stay there. And guess what had happened? They had drifted imperceptibly with the current. They weren't actually deliberately disobeying. They just forgot to stay in touch with Mum and Dad. They forgot to do the little things you need to do. Keep an eye on Mum and Dad. Make sure your footing's secure. Stay there. And what I want to encourage you is this. If you're a Christian, don't drift. It's very easy to wake up one day and find yourself way down the beach, far from where you were when you were committed to God. So be renewed on the inside, day by day by day. How do you stay renewed? You read the Bible. It's not that hard. It's like not prison. Just read the Bible. See what God has to say to you. Pray. Talk to other people about Jesus. Fellowship. Stay engaged. Stay in touch with the living God. Like, have you guys met Christians who are older than you who are really cranky and really cantankerous, irritable? Like, no, don't put your hand up and say who they are. My point is, right, you know them, right? And then you know Christians who are older than you who are, you just want to be with them. Like, they're just amazing. Like, they're saintly. They're godly people. What is the difference between those two people? One of them is being renewed day by day by day. It's a day by day by day by day by day by day renewal. You can't get by Sunday night by Sunday night. You can't get by Christmas. It's a daily renewal. Yesterday's exaggerated. People exaggerate about yesterday. Tomorrow's overrated. Today counts. Day by day renewal. So, why do we persevere telling people about Jesus? Well, the first one is the contrast or the difference between how weak we are, how powerful God is. The second one is the difference between the outer man, just our bodies, they get old, but the inner man is being renewed day by day. Here's the third one, final thing. The third reason to persevere in telling people about Jesus. It's the contrast or the difference between the trouble we have now and the glory we'll enjoy later. Look at verse 17. Paul says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." So it says here that our light and momentary troubles, in contrast to light and momentary and trouble, you have weight, eternal, and glory. So I'll read it again. "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." So did you hear what that said? It says this. If you're a follower of Jesus and you have trouble now, it's not the trouble you have now cannot be compared to the glory that's to come. So it doesn't say if you have this much trouble, later on you get this much glory. It doesn't work like that. It's not one for one. It says if you have this much trouble now, you have a billion times more glory later. That's what it says. "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving us for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." Actually, in the Greek version of the Bible, the literal words are beyond and beyond. So the glory that we will have later is beyond and beyond any trouble you have now. That's why Paul says they're just light troubles. It's just not that big a deal when you think about the glory that's to come. Let me read to you what Paul reckons are light trouble. Listen to this. He gives a little summary of his life, and he says in chapter 11, he talks about how hard he works, and he says, I've been in prison more frequently. Most of us haven't been in prison at all. Paul's been in prison quite a few times. And I don't think prisons were very pleasant back then. "I've been flogged more severely." That's like, imagine your parent getting a leather belt and flogging you silly. "I've been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods." So you imagine someone getting a cricket bat and beating you around the head, beating you around the chest. Paul says that happened to me 3 times. "Once I was stoned." So people pick up rocks and try and kill you with the rocks. Not just like little stones. "3 times I was shipwrecked." And later on we read that he was shipwrecked again. So Paul was shipwrecked at least 4 times in his life. "I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits," that's robbers, "in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles," that's foreigners, "in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I've labored and toiled. I've gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst. I've often gone without food. I've been cold and naked," which is so embarrassing. "And besides everything else, I've faced the daily pressure of my concern for all the churches." Paul says those are just light problems. And imagine, if those are light, how great must be the glory? Because the glory is beyond and beyond any trouble you have now. So Paul says, persevere, Tell people about Jesus because of the difference between the troubles, we all have trouble, the trouble we have now, and the glory that God will give us later. But I've got one more thing to say, one last verse. Because what you have to realize is trouble doesn't automatically lead to glory. So you can't be just like one of these people who say, oh, I have lots of troubles now, that's good, I'll have a great time later. Paul says you've got to have the right perspective. So he says in verse 18 of our passage, he says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen. This is really interesting. He says we don't look at what we can see, but we fix our eyes on what we can't see. For what is seen is temporary, what is unseen is eternal. So Paul says we don't concentrate on what we can see. And most of us do concentrate on what we can see. Like we see something and we want it. We see something and we build it. We want more. We're never satisfied. But Paul says, if you can see it, like this this little lectern, if you can see it, Paul says, it will not last. It's just a temporary thing. So the chairs you're sitting in, or the clothes you're wearing, or the car you came in tonight, if you can see it, it won't last. But if you can't see it, it lasts forever. So what can't you see? You can't see your soul. It lasts forever. You can't see the Spirit of God. He lasts forever. You can't see heaven. Heaven will last forever. You can't see future glory. Future glory will last forever. So Paul says you've got to have the right perspective. Keep your eyes not on what you can see, but on what you can't see. So let me wrap up by saying this. The greatest miracle in all the world, it's hearing the word of God and doing something with what you hear. And if God speaks to you, even through this little passage, that persevere in telling people about Jesus because of the difference between our weakness and God's power, or the outer man and the inner man, or the trouble we have now and the glory we'll have later, then do something about it and live your life for the sake of God's glory among other people. It's like the best life you could ever lead. Do you remember hearing about a very famous politician in England named Winston Churchill? World War II, Sir Winston Churchill. He actually became the Prime Minister of England. And he used to give very, very long speeches, way longer than mine. His went for 2 hours. He memorized his speeches. He was a fantastic orator. Incredible guy. Once he was giving a speech to a group of soldiers and Air Force men who were about to leave the shores of England to go and fly over Germany and bomb Germany during World War II. It would have been a horrible time to live. Horrible war. Winston Churchill stood up in front of all these men in their uniforms and he gave a long speech. I'm just going to share a couple of words that he said in that speech. He said to those men who were about to go to war, many of whom who would never come back again, they would give their lives for the cause of England's victory. He said these words. He looked them in the eye and he said, never give up. Never give up. Never give up. Never, never, never. And I don't reckon those guys would have ever forgotten those words. So here's what I want to encourage you as we close tonight. When it comes to sharing your faith, when it comes to telling people about Jesus, when it comes to mission, based on this little passage, I encourage you to read it, and with the words of Sir Winston Churchill, when it comes to mission, never give up. You might be the means by which someone gives their life to Jesus and is never the same again. Never give up. Just by living your life as a genuine follower of Jesus, you might change a whole country. Never give up. Never, never, never. Let me pray. Father, would you help us be people who persevere in sharing this treasure with other people? And I guess especially tonight we're thinking about other people of the world. Like our mate said earlier, it's about, you know, all people from everywhere going everywhere, and you might call us to go somewhere crazy so that people there might enjoy the treasure of the gospel and life in Christ as well. Help us, Father, to persevere in whatever sphere of life we live so that other people might know Jesus too, that we might make God seen the glory of God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.